And welcome back to Success Made to Last International Trendsetter Series. I'm Rick Tocchini. This series is about the art and science of marketing, its reinvention, the harnessing of rapid change, giving you, the listener, emerging ideas from around the globe to help your company create your best version. Our host is Deborah Malone, marketing pioneer and guru, highly opinionated, daring, and a trendsetter. She is the internationalist, connecting people and ideas in international advertising, media, and marketing through intelligent content. Join Deborah today in the pursuit of reshaping the future of marketing. Here's Deborah Malone.
Thanks, Rick, and welcome to another internationalist trendsetter show. Mirella Vitale, Senior Vice President of Marketing Communications and Public Affairs at the Rockwool Group, admitted early last year that everything changed when we aligned around purpose. Today, at a time when everyone's way of living has been challenged and the nature of cities is changing amid an unforeseen pandemic, he emphasizes that purpose is more relevant now than ever before. The Rockwool Group, without question, is one of the world's most extraordinary and truly sustainable companies. As a global leader in the manufacture of stone wool building materials, it is of critical interest to architects, builders, and homeowners. Rockwool's non-combustible products are of great importance to high-rise dwellers and office tower workers, particularly as the world has witnessed several tragic and greatly publicized building fires over the last couple years. The company's diverse brands ensure state-of-the-art insulation, protection against fire, protection against water damage, they reduce noise pollution, and they provide comfortable human comfort and well-being. Today we're talking with Mirella about Purposeful Marketing's expanding story, the future of cities, and the responsibilities of today's brands. Welcome to the show, Mirella. Mirella, welcome to the show. You've spent a good part of your life working for sustainable companies and thinking about purposeful marketing. Yet I've always been impressed that when you got to Rockwool, you said everything changed when we aligned around purpose. And you've demonstrated that a focused, well-structured, and purposeful marketing initiative can make a difference not only to a brand, but to the world. So let me ask you, have notions of purpose changed since COVID-19?
Yeah. So I should start by saying it's actually a question we also asked ourselves internally, because we saw, you know, everything happened so fast around COVID-19. None of us could predict it or saw something like this coming. It's not like it was a part of a market forecast. So we actually discussed whether we felt that our purpose needed to be adapted or changed or modernized to reflect this new reality. And then actually when we were looking at our purpose, which is to release the natural power of stone, which is what our product is made of, natural stone, to enrich modern living, we actually came to the conclusion that our purpose is probably more relevant than ever today, even than it was before, because what has happened with COVID-19 is that our modern living and our way of living has been challenged. And the areas that have been challenged more than anybody in any place are the cities of this world. And it's exactly where the Rockwool products fit in, because I think that there's now a sort of fear of urbanization and population density, and we have to take that fear out of society. We shouldn't be afraid of living in cities. We shouldn't be afraid of urbanization, but we should ensure that our cities are safer, healthier, and better places to live. And this can be done by choosing better materials in our construction, making them more circular, more long-lasting, ensuring that people have the spaces they need in comfort and reducing air pollution. So we've kept our purpose intact, and we actually believe that we can rally around our purpose and even reboost it to a certain extent because of the COVID-19.
That's very interesting, because it shows, at least to me, from someone who's tried to do a lot of work with purpose with a lot of different companies, it shows that you got it right the first time. And I think that if it can only be intensified during these times, I mean, that's quite extraordinary, because some people do believe that there are elements of purpose that must continually evolve while other core aspects remain the same. Now, would that be true for you, or is it just you have the good fortune that it's working and intensifying?
Yeah, I think that when we created our purpose, we wanted to make sure that the purpose was relatable to who we are as a company. So what we do, but also who we are as a company and what we represent. And so we kept it very close to home. You have a lot of great purposes out there with which maybe have a stronger marketing ring or impact to them, but maybe are a little bit removed from what the company actually does. And I think by keeping it very close to home means that it is more long-lasting, because yes, our products evolve, but they don't dramatically change. We don't go from making a sustainable natural product into a completely different field. We stay within the field of having sustainable construction materials. So I can't say, I can't look out into the future and say that we're never going to change it. But I think a true corporate purpose needs to stand the test of time for a little while. And I would say that we're relatively new in the sort of purposeful communication space. It's been 4.5 years, 4.5 years since I've been in Rockwell, probably 4 years since we launched the actual purpose. So I believe that it should be able to stand the test of time. But of course, if we need to adapt in the future, we'll of course do that.
Well, certainly this was an extraordinary test of time. But you mentioned something. Obviously, Rockwell is an extraordinarily sustainable company. You know, let me ask you a little bit about that focus on sustainability. Recently, Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock, came out with a number of initiatives to place sustainability at the center of a company's investment approach. And he's been compelling investors to reassess core assumptions about modern finance in terms of climate change. I know you're very much involved with climate initiatives. I actually think there's a wonderful photo behind you that talks about that. But can you talk a little bit about that and maybe also address if you define sustainability as part of the purpose-led organization or if it's separate, just as help to other marketers?
Yeah. So if we start with your statement about Larry Fink, I think that at the beginning of the year at the World Economic Forum, he did make some very strong statements about investments and his, you know, investment portfolio, and that it would in future only be considering sort of greener investments. And in Rockwell, we believe offers investments that greener portfolio that they're looking for, because our products, all of our products, from the horticultural substrates for growing vegetables to our acoustic protection, our acoustic ceilings, our sustainable insulation, all of them have a positive impact on the environment and on reducing climate change. So I think we all had very high expectations for 2020 for really being a year of change in the climate reality. Of course, it started with the World Economic Forum, but there were great expectations for the UN and the Sustainable Development Goals, the COP that was going to take place in Glasgow. So really the expectations were set very high, also because there was a year of action that had been launched at the end of last year in New York. And I think that sustainability and corporate purpose are sort of merging into one and the same, because of course you cannot really have a purpose that doesn't have a meaning to the people that are listening to it. And today that meaning is very much about sustainability because it's so high on everybody's agenda. Then, of course, you also need to attract investors. We are a business. We're not an NGO. We have to make money for our shareholders, and we have to be an interesting investment. And seeing as more and more asset managers are looking for sustainable, clean investments, then we have to ensure that we're able to qualify. So we pay a lot of attention to sustainability rankings. So it's not only about brand rankings anymore. You want to have a good brand and reputation, and you want to score high in your brand rankings, but we also look at the sustainability rankings and we want to be part of them. And we need, and in order to do that, there's certain things then criteria that we have to meet. So very much brand and reputation and purpose and sustainability are very closely linked today.
That's interesting. Let me ask you something which may not be as relevant to you, but is it, since you are largely a business-to-business brand, not entirely, because the consumer can also buy Rockwell, but do you find that there's a difference between your corporate purpose as the Rockwell Group versus the purpose of some of your brands, like, for example, the horticultural brand or the Rockwell insulation brand? Is there a difference, or does there have to be?
Yeah, so we don't distinguish. We don't have a difference. We put all the brands under the same umbrella. And I think we actually, when we looked for our purpose, we wanted a purpose that could incorporate all our brands. And hence sort of the modern living in a very broad sense. Then you mentioned the photo that I have in the back. What we did actually this year is realizing that we are, you know, in the construction industry and have a relatively small and very fragmented audience, we needed a platform where we could create sustainability awareness and talk to a broader audience. And we were looking for a platform in order to do that, to be able to reach more people and create awareness in a much broader way. And very often today, that is done through sports marketing. And of course, sports marketing is very interesting. There's a lot of platforms that are out there and available, also have very different costs. And also we had to find a platform that really suited our values. So with SailGP, we found a sports platform that is actually one of the first sports events that has signed up to the UN Sustainable Development Goals, where they actually aim to be carbon neutral by 2050. They have long-term commitments, commitments not to use single-use plastics, etc. Of course, sailing itself is sustainable and it is powered by nature, but the really interesting part for Rockwell was that this is sailing in city harbors. You can see behind me, this is Sydney Harbor, where the race took place. So we're bringing sailing and the Rockwell story to the heart of the cities that are so deeply impacted by climate change, by climate stress, noise pollution, air pollution, etc. So it enables us to reach a broad audience at the heart of where so many of these issues lie, but we like to do it in an optimistic way and to be a little bit positive and tell the story that, yes, climate change is an issue. Yes, we need to be aware of global warming, but also the technologies exist, and if we do it right, we can actually solve it. So to take away a little bit of the negativity and have a more optimistic outlook to the future.
Oh, that's wonderful. You also talked very much about, as you said, something that's core to your purpose and obviously to the sports marketing effort, and it's modern living. And it's the solutions that you offer, particularly to growing urban areas in terms of what your materials can do to make life better. You're certainly welcome to talk a little bit about that, but I'm also curious as to how that will change, not only in response to COVID-19, but how it might also impact things like home design and office design.
So we do see trends changing. And of course, it will be interesting to monitor if these are momentary reactions because the impact is still so strong, or if some of these changes will sort of last over time. I think they showed in Europe an increase of something like 41% interest in people moving out of apartments and into single family homes in the suburbs. again, we'll have to see if that actually stands the test of time or if that's just momentary issue. Of course, in our office spaces, we've all had to rethink the way we use our spaces. Up until now, it's been very much about open spaces, interaction, common areas, taking down walls, and all of a sudden you see walls, transparent plexiglass walls, but you see walls going up all around you. I want to hope and that is a temporary issue, that we're not going to go back to the classical cubicle of the office. But if we do go back to needing cubicles, I think, as I mentioned, we have acoustic solutions that enable you to do that in a very natural and attractive way, rather than having sort of very dull and enclosed areas where, you know, people were used to working in these very large rooms in different rows. So I think it will impact design to a certain extent, but hopefully, as I said, but designing better and for the better of the people who are in the buildings. We mentioned many times that we spent 90% of our time indoors. Before, the balance was maybe more office than it was home. I think obviously in these last months, our balance has been working from home a lot more, and we've all discovered aspects of our homes that we don't like. So, the noisy room, the cold room, the room where there's too much sunlight. So we do see, and we've seen the response from the European Union, where they actually have come out with a recovery package for the post-COVID stimulus packages and financial aid, where they actually put building renovation at the top of the agenda. So, of course, that's because construction industry creates jobs, but it's also because they really have understood how much people have either liked or disliked being at home in this period. I mean,
I'm wondering, I know that you said in Europe 41% are thinking about moving to the suburbs. I also think after having been sequestered, maybe more people will want to be with a family, and we'll get to that since you were away from yours. And maybe if not larger homes, maybe homes that might be able to accommodate more people being online, not in their own cubicle, but maybe in their own little nook of the house, or if they are online, it might be quieter. If someone's doing a video or remote learning, they're not hearing the other person and so on. It's fascinating to see, to see how that might change. But you're very smart to say, is this a trend or a momentary reaction? And I guess that all depends on where we go from here.
Yeah. I mean, we've had colleagues that have had to take turns of working from home because they couldn't both be on calls at the same time because the apartment was simply too small and the acoustics not good enough. And so, of course, yes, working from home is an option. You see more and more companies talking about it. But for some people, we actually had a lot of people saying to us, but, I really want to come to the office because my home and with the children not going to school, it doesn't allow me to be able to work from home. That's also a reality.
Yeah. And some of that, there might be some simple solutions to that as well. Speaking of simple solutions, and I'm not sure this is so simple, but talk a little bit about, does marketing, or shall we say the role of marketing, make a difference to purpose? I know that's a little bit of a loaded question, but it might talk more about to the structure of it. But could you just address that for a bit?
Yeah. So of course my answer is going to be yes, absolutely it does. But I think, and we were just recently also discussing this with my team, there's so much talk about the digital transformation out in the world and how the sales organizations need to transition to more digital tools, which of course they do. But I think the other key aspect that a lot of people are maybe missing, and which is highly relevant, is that today, sustainability has also disrupted marketing and sales and communication, and you can't have one without the other. I really don't believe that you can create an impactful and strong marketing story if you don't have a strong purpose and you don't have a strong sustainability agenda. So marketing really has eaten away at the sales funnel, if you would like, because the whole digital interaction with your customer is no longer led by the sales representative who goes out and closes the deal, but it's actually driven and handheld by the marketing department almost to the end. So more than ever, your marketing story, your purpose, your sustainability agenda are where your customer sees you, where your customer interacts you, right up until the closing transaction. So for sure, marketing is today much further along in the sales funnel than it would be 5-6 years ago, partly because of the digital transition and partly because of the whole storytelling aspect and the engagement that people want to have with the brand of their choice.
That's very interesting. Also, though, I'm wondering, so marketing becomes the communicator of this, yes. Both, I would assume, internally, but also externally. What about the role of the CEO and the C-suite? Do they allow marketing to take the lead on these communications, or are you already aligned in terms of what that message is?
I mean, there's a lot of alignment. So I'm in a very fortunate situation where I report to the CEO, and in my organization, in my part of the organization, I am responsible for marketing, communication, public affairs, and sustainability. And I'm also responsible for product management. So if you would like having that suite of responsibility in my area and reporting directly to the CEO, of course, allows me to have a lot of that alignment already in place. In many corporations, they sit into different areas and report into different functions. I think having the marketing organization as part of the C-suite means that the alignment happens before you go out with communication, and that's essential. I'm also very fortunate that I have a CEO that believes in this agenda as passionately and as strongly as I do, as do the rest of my colleagues in group management. And of course, that's a plus for me, but for the entire organization, because it's really heartfelt, and we all share that passion equally.
Yeah, and you can certainly see it so much a part of the Rockwell mission, and not only in the products that you create, but in their results and in changing cities. Let me ask you something which I wonder about. You know, a word like purpose now has become a bit of a marketing buzzword, and it's become, as they say, a bit loaded. Is there a better word that we could use to describe all of this, or a better phrase?
You know, I agree with you that it's almost over-consumed, and that happens. It's also the same with, you know, sustainability.
Yes,
everyone
you're right.
Is sustainable
right.
And with it. So I think that, you know, that tends to happen when people see that this is a trend that is growing exponentially. But I do think it captures it. I do think it's trying to express that you need to have a sense of being. So what we try to say, what we discuss often in group management is, okay, when this team of group management is retired and we're no longer here, what is the legacy we're going to leave behind? Mm-hmm. What is the new team going to say about us? Were we the ones that, you know, drove sustainability? Were we the ones that got it wrong? Were we the ones that, you know, changed the Rockwell story? So I think for us, the purpose is also linked to that legacy that we want to leave behind. Rockwell has a strong history, 80-year history, very embedded in the original family culture. It's a family-owned company. It still is. It's a listed company, but still very much family-owned. And we feel that culture in the company every day. And we believe that we've translated that culture into the purpose. And as I said, we hope it will stand the test of time. So I like the idea of purpose. I think that it's still a relevant word. But agree with you that we all have to, as with everything, we also have to be very clear on what we actually mean and not use it too generically.
Yeah, and unpack it and yeah. Make it work for you and certainly make it quite original. What is the next evolution of purpose? Is there an evolution to this?
I think there is, and I think we'll see it. I think we will see it, as you said, go closer and closer to sustainability. Mm-hmm. I think the our purpose is going to lead us to more, social aspects. When we talk about environmental, social, and governance, I think the social is becoming more and more important. Of course, governance in companies, in order to have ethical business, etc., is important. But that whole social aspect is becoming more relevant than ever. So I think we're going to see ourselves transition into that. But I also think that we're going to set ourselves, rather than just a purpose, I think we're going to start communicating about purpose goals. You know, how do you measure purpose? It's okay to say it, but how do you actually measure it? And actually, I was being interviewed by a journalist earlier today, and we were talking about the fact that, you know, I'm actually very fortunate that I don't have to invent anything, because the products that we have are such a perfect fit for a strong story about purpose, because they are inherently sustainable, they're natural, they have so many human benefits. And I was asked the question, you know, well, what if you know, what would you think about changing companies? And I think that I would probably have difficulty in working for a company where I would have to invent the sustainable story, or invent a purpose that wasn't really reflecting who we were. So I feel very privileged by the fact that actually the story comes together itself.
But I also recall that, for 75 years, Rockwool existed. But when you did come up with a concept of purposeful marketing, as we said at the opening, it changed everything. Because it did align things. So in other words, you could be an extraordinarily successful and sustainable company, but unless you put that in the context of what your stakeholders need to understand and let people know some of the benefits to mega trends like urbanization and changing cities, it may not be as clear. And it becomes a great differentiator, I would think.
For sure, it becomes a great differentiator, but it also opens you up to a lot more scrutiny. Mm-hmm. And when you start actively articulating and talking about purpose, you can have people that agree and see it, and also people that disagree with it. So by communicating more and articulating more what your ambitions are and what your purpose is, you also open up yourself to a lot more criticism. And of course, we know with the current environment in social media and on digital, that everybody today is an influencer. Everybody today has a voice, because you have a voice through these channels. So while it does on one side support your story and support your positioning, it does, you're suddenly sort of naked and more transparent to a bigger audience, and also have to accept the criticisms that come with purposeful marketing and talking about having purpose and meaning. Because of course you know, some people will see it as, okay, you're just doing it because it's the latest buzzword. You know, okay, another company that has a corporate purpose, another company that is talking about a green agenda. So it is, you know, highly important, but there's also a lot of caution around doing it because of that exposure that you have, and the additional scrutiny that you're under by such a broader audience.
And I can understand that, and some of it is misperception, some of it is and it's difficult. I guess the best that one can do is do what you do well and demonstrate that and be as authentic as possible. But I understand, and I also think that's one of the obstacles to some people wanting to become a purpose-led company, because of the fear of that level of criticism when you haven't got it, you haven't got it quite right sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting issue. So let me just ask, what's next for Rockwool? Are there marketing goals that you might have globally? What's next for the company?
Yeah. So I think that, you know, our goal right now is to create more of a global platform. I think a lot of the communication and the activities we have done has been towards our key audience. But we want, you know, there's a new audience out there that we need to capture. There's the architects of tomorrow, the designers and the urban planners of tomorrow. And it's talking much more to cities as a whole, so that cities are considered more holistically and that can incorporate all of our products within their portfolio. So we are actually looking at reaching a broader audience, not talking only to our niche construction audience, but being a more recognizable brand so that people are aware of what we have to offer and the benefits of our products and to what context they fit into their everyday life. So it is very much about, I would say, expanding our story over the next years and to a much more international audience. So we're, of course, very well recognized in Denmark, recognized in a few key markets, but there's a lot of markets where we see huge potential for growth, both for the brand and for the product.
Interesting, very interesting. And now let me just ask you one last question that's a little bit more personal rather than business. And did you have any unexpected insights while you were in lockdown in Denmark and separated from your family in Italy? So yeah. anything good come out of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, I'm still separated from my family. I actually haven't seen my husband for about 3.5 months now. Not physically seen him. Of course, I've seen him on Skype and the same for my children. And my children were actually, I have adult children, but they were living in Milan. And they were able to move to our family home, which is in the south of Italy before the lockdown. But for sure, the experience between Italy and Denmark was very different. Italy lived a very dramatic situation. Milan, where my boys were living, was hit very hard, very, very early on. It was the first place in Europe to have the first cases. And also when so little was known about the virus. And so there was a lot of, you know, well, we continue living, it's a flu, we'll get over it. And the lockdown happened much later than it should have because simply there was no knowledge. And then there was a dramatic lockdown to people not being able to leave their houses at all. My mother, who is 80 years old, didn't step foot out of her house for 2 months, was not able to see her grandchildren. We were, you know, nobody was able to visit her. Luckily, we have her on Skype and she knows how to use WhatsApp and video calls. But it's really hard knowing that she was by herself, she's a widow, not able to leave the house, not being able to interact, not being able to do any of her routine daily activities. I think for the younger generations, you know, one of my sons was studying online, the other one working online. Very little changed for them, but for my husband and myself, I think it's been extremely tough because we have such hectic lives, but we always make space for one another. And even though he lives in Italy and I live in Denmark, it's, you know, one weekend me flying over and one weekend him flying over, and very often, you know, making those long weekends. And so suddenly that disappears, you know, and you tend to throw yourself, well, at least I threw myself in my work, and that also kept me a little bit sane in this time. But for sure, I think the positive side of things is that you can get through it, you know. Excuse me, I think, you know, throwing yourself in despair is not an approach that I would take. As I said, I'm generally optimistic. I'm optimistic about the climate. I'm also optimistic about life. And I think having that end view that we're going to get over this is the positive side of things. But both as a company, as a person, humanity, it is a big bump that nobody expected. So many people, so many lives lost, and it's been incredibly dramatic. And we have to rebuild. Then let's at least rebuild in a better way.
Well, I don't think you could sum it up any better. And I think you've given inspiration to a lot of us, both personally and professionally. So I hope that you will come back to the show, particularly as you expand internationally, because I'm sure you're going to have some interesting stories to tell. And we thank you and wish you well as you reconnect with your husband, okay?
The objective is next weekend. So.
Excellent. Good for you. All right. Well, thank you so much, Marella.
Thank you so much, Deborah. Thank you.
Thanks, Marella, for being part of today's show and for playing an essential role in advocating marketing's role in the purpose-driven organization. You've inspired us all to think more deeply about the evolution of purpose in light of current world events. Now back to Rick.
And thanks for joining us for another Internationalist Trendsetter Show hosted by Deborah Malone. To get further information on today's topic, visit the-internationalist.com, your trusted source for innovative marketing trends, best practices, aspiring to create new world standards. Have a great week.
This show is brought to you by Success Made to Last. Success Made to Last is a multimedia company with a focus on you and releasing your full potential. If you want to find out more information about all the programs associated with this company, go to successmadetolast.com.